Michael Swear is a book. Art. Media.
Life and Swear is about art.
Life and Swear is and about culture. Art.
Life and Swear is about art, media, and culture.
Stand by. Quiet in the studio, please. Cue Norman B. Roll intro. Cue theme music. 3, 2, 1.
This is Life Elsewhere, created and hosted by Norman B.
Hello there, welcome to Life Elsewhere. I'm your host and dog walker, if you ask nicely. In today's edition, an in-depth interview with an artist who, by his own admission, doesn't like to reveal too much of himself. His music caught my attention, and you know, I believe that you need to know about Logan Farmer, aka Monarch Mountain. So let's begin with a track from his new album, I Woke at the Station. This is Monarch Mountain with Overtime in the Underworld, and this is Life Elsewhere.
Cigarette-ish and dive by beauty sleeps beside his Friday bread and hopes that she's 18. But oh my God, he'll tell you that his life's a movie, he fucks and fights. His name's in lights, and he can barely read. He should be dead, or at least dying. But instead, the world is kind. And invite time and time again. Friday night, the arena goes dark, and I punch the clock. Grab my things to cruise the streets, looking for a date. This acid's cold, this kid from the war is Mexico. Won't say his name, but I don't blame him. I told him
Overtime in the Underworld is the title of that track, and the first time I played that, I just raved on, and I had to put it on again, and then I put it on again, and then I made a little On a thumb drive, I copied it off and put it into the car, and then I discovered that there was more tracks from Monarch Mountain, courtesy of Fox Food Records. And I think you all know how much I love hearing from James Smith at Fox Food and the new music that he puts out. Monarch Mountain has really caught my attention and been raving, and are going to continue on raving. But before I go any further, let me introduce you to the man behind Monarch Mountain. Logan Farmer is with us. Logan, welcome to Life Elsewhere.
Thank you, Norman. It's good to be here.
So, here I go, raving on about your music, and I've got to know all about you and all about your music. So, let's start at the beginning. And what I mean by that is, let's get a little background about you, first of all. Then we'll talk about your music, and we'll talk about your new album, I Woke at the Station. So who is Logan Farmer? Give me the background.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing this kind of thing for a long time, almost always alone and just doing it solitary in my own bedroom or whatever it happens to be. And I probably put out a new record every year or so, and I've been doing this for, I guess, probably over a decade now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's it feels good. Monarch Mountain is the newest incarnation of that and that work that I do at home. And it's a very kind of private and intimate part of myself that is I have to kind of keep separate from other aspects of my life. But no, it's just something that I do.
And you do it very well. And since I discovered Monarch Mountain, of course, I've gone back and listened to your back catalog, and some great stuff here. So I want to know about what got you into this? What drove you to become a singer, songwriter, producer? Where did all that start from?
At this point, it's hard to remember. You know, I was in bands in high school, and then I just kind of kept doing it. And now it's such a deep part of who I am that it's hard for me to kind of take a step back and see the origin story here. Every record I put out is kind of an embodiment of where I was at that time. And I don't think I can move forward as a person without continuing to express myself in this way, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. So now you're going to have to bear with me as I sort of probe a little deeper and find out a little bit more about you. So Monarch Mountain is you, Logan Farmer, and I believe we're talking to you in the mountains somewhere, in Colorado somewhere. Is that where you are?
Yeah, the Front Range, so Fort Collins, Colorado.
Nice. Okay. And I guess I'm always curious to know how people end up in certain places. Is that home? Is that somewhere where you landed upon?
No, well, actually, I'm originally from Florida. Yeah, no, I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I've kind of bounced around a bit, and I fell in love with Colorado after living in Steamboat Springs, which is most definitely in the mountains, and bounced around from there and kind of just ended up in Fort Collins.
So I have to ask you, because again, I'm going to sort of probe you a little bit here.
Yeah.
So is music is that your main occupation, or you do something else?
No. And I most of my music is available via donation.
Right.
So it helps a little bit, but I do have a day job. I've been working in bookstores for a few years now. And
Okay.
That's my alter ego, I guess you'd say.
Now, are you a writer as well? Because I'm listening to your lyrics, and I'm thinking to myself, this man, he probably writes poetry at some point, or he's got a book in there. Am I right in that?
I would say that's correct.
Yeah.
And I don't separate those two mediums very much, which may be apparent when you listen. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a book we're gonna get from Logan Farmer at some point? So maybe a book of poems, perhaps.
Yeah, there's always there's always a connection to my work and prose, I think. In fact, a lot of songs I write, including Overtime in the Underworld, are tied very closely to an idea for a story that I had.
Yeah.
And it just kind of it came out in a different way than I expected.
Well, let's get into that. Let's talk about Overtime in the Underworld. I first heard that James sent me that track some weeks back now, and as I said, I kept playing it over and over. Now I've been playing the whole album, I Woke at the Station, but that one caught my attention first off. So let's talk about that. What's it all about?
Yeah, well, I don't want to go too much into it because I think it should speak for itself for the
okay.
most part, but it is, it was kind of the foundation of the whole record itself, I think.
Yeah.
It's very much a storytelling song. A handful of characters, and they decide they want to rob a prize fighting boxer. And that's essentially, that's kind of where the genesis of that was.
Right.
Was that premise. And then from there, I realized that there were these other voices that I also kind of wanted to explore. And I figured that I could put them together in a collection, just full of these distinct characters. And that was kind of, I think the whole record itself kind of is anchored by that particular track and that narrative style as well.
Now, one of the things that I try very hard to do is to not do what we call train spotting, is to do the reference thing and talk about what you like and what you don't like and who influenced you and all the rest of it. I really find that to be sort of, it doesn't really do anything because everybody's got influences and everybody listens to all kinds of stuff. And obviously you have and you do. But I do want to know the construction of your music, because there's something about it. See, this is the thing that we have you on the show for, is that certain music grabs me because not just of the writing, not just of the, it's everything. It's the way it's all put together, and there's something about the way you've put this particular album together that fascinates me, and I want to get into that a little more deeper. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to play another cut from the album. We're going to play Josephine I've Seen from Monarch Mountain right after this.
Thank you for listening to Life Elsewhere, hosted by Norman B. To learn more about our program, our guests, and the music we feature, go to lifeelsewhere.co. That's C-O.
If you just joined us, we're talking to Logan Farmer, aka Monarch Mountain. Now, he's a musician, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, he's a producer, and I'm just crazy about his new album. It's called I Woke at the Station. The track we just heard is called Josephine, I've seen. And the reason I'm putting that comma in there, I don't know if I say it just Josephine, I've seen, it gets it across. So maybe you can explain the title to us.
Well, let's see. I generally think of particular tracks kind of in the context of the album itself. And it's can be rather hard for me to separate that sometimes. But for that one, there's a couple bits of imagery that I think repeat and are consistent throughout the album itself. And one of those is the line, "I've seen your eyes," which I think is a very revealing part of a person. And there's so much desperation with these characters, especially with Josephine, I've seen. And so that's kind of a longer answer for it. A more simple answer would be that's just a line that I took from the song that I felt was more compelling. I would have just called it Josephine, but I figured it gave a better overview of the track itself
yes.
by using that title.
You just said a word that I want to really focus in on, mystery. And there's a certain aura of mystery about this album, about your work in general. And I'm wondering if that's conscious, very deliberate.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, it's hard for me to consider any aspects of my work to be deliberate, honestly.
Uh-huh.
There are parts, obviously, where I approached it with a certain intention, but generally when it's the making of it itself, the creation itself comes out from an unconscious kind of place. And I take a step back when it's done and I look at it, and that's how I kind of know what I'm working with.
Now, about this album, there's some quotes, or as a quotation that you use on your band camp site, that I find very, very interesting. And the last line particularly, and we used it in a piece that we put up on our site because it registered with me. And the quote is this: "Is there dignity in desperation?" Talk to me about that, Logan.
I think that dignity is a crucial part of American culture, and I think that everyone is always kind of striving to meet that, and it's a hard thing to define, dignity. But I think that when it comes to impoverished people or desperate people, like the characters in the record itself, I think they're all kind of striving towards that intangible thing, and I don't think anyone can ever fully reach what they feel is their own dignity and what they feel like they deserve. I don't know. It's difficult, but I figured that was a good way to kind of put what I was reaching towards when I was creating this album.
There's another word that I'm every time I hear something, I'm gonna focus in on it. You said America just now. And I'm wondering, Logan, if you consider yourself to be you have a very specific sound. Is this an American sound, or could this be from anywhere?
I don't know. I think it's hard to separate myself from it enough. I mean, there are certainly Americana influences and some country and folk influences, but often the best artists in that genre come from other places. I don't think it's inherently American, though.
No. Okay. Yeah. Because I would have questioned that, because they're obviously, as I touched on before, we don't necessarily want to go into the train spotting thing. But over the years, you've listened to lots of different kinds of music, and I'm sure you've certain things from different places, particularly some of the things that are coming out of the UK. You've said, "Oh, I like that," and that's given me some ideas. And I want to talk about the ideas. I want to talk about the production, particularly on this album, "I Woke at the Station." There's a lot of stuff going on here. You've got great songs that you've written, but then the production itself is a little different from some singer-songwriters that I hear these days. What can you say about that?
Yeah, you know, I listen to a lot of experimental music and a lot of ambient type music, and yeah. And you know, it's also, and I think anyone who has a home studio can attest to this, sometimes it's hard to know when to stop, and so to kind of know that restraint when recording and try to kind of keep an eye on your influences and see they don't bleed too much into the recordings themselves can be kind of a tricky thing. But there is always that foundation of kind of a folk singer-songwriter approach. And that's how I write my songs. I've always written my songs in the same way. Write them directly on the guitar almost always. And that's the clearest essence, I think, of my work itself. The production comes from a different place, I think, sometimes. And I don't know. I like exploring new textures. I like to be as progressive of an artist as I can.
Now, I listen very carefully, and as I told you, I've been playing this album over and over, and I've been listening in my car, I've been listening on headset when I'm at the gym, I've just been all over the place, listening here in the studio with these great big studio speakers, and I'm hearing things in this album. I'm hearing found sounds, I'm hearing manipulated sounds. Talk to me about what's going on.
Yeah, sure. Well, one thing that I love to do, there's a certain little plaza right downtown where I live that has just the greatest, just kind of sonic things are always going on. You know, there are kids laughing, there are people walking, there are street musicians. And one thing that I love to do is turn on the microphone on my cell phone and just walk right through that plaza. And whenever I feel like I hear something around me that I think is intriguing sonically, I like to make little field recordings. And a lot of times when you do that, you discover things listening later when you go back to it, you discover things that you didn't know were there, which I think is fascinating. And so I tried to, especially for this record, I captured a lot of those and I tried to put those here and there to really kind of not only incorporate those sounds that I love and the recordings that I found, but also to heighten the sense of crowdedness, I guess you'd say, with the narratives in the songs themselves, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I love the idea that you go into this little area downtown and do a field recording. I love that. On one of the tracks, I'm almost positive I hear the click, click, click of a movie projector, and I'm trying to remember which track it is. Is it Venus Restored?
That's probably Josephine I've Seen, actually.
Oh, Josephine, yes, it was. Josephine I've Seen, yes, it was. We just played it, yes.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of funny because I recorded, I recorded this record in kind of an isolated cabin in northern Michigan, and they had this really neat old electric organ, and when you plug it in and you turn it on, it takes a minute to warm up before you can play it, and I loved that tone. As soon as I heard that warming up, I knew I wanted to use it. I just recorded that.
Now, the instruments. Now, from what I can gather, it seems to me that you're playing all the instruments apart from one track with the saxophone. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So the process. So you said you sit down with the guitar and you work out a song, you compose a song with your guitar. And then what happens from there?
Yeah, then I record a demo. And whenever I get a chance to sit down with it again, I really kind of, I never really plan out the compositions beforehand. I always kind of do it off on the fly, which sometimes works out and sometimes doesn't. Every record I put out, you know, 8 or 9 songs make it onto the record, but I record many, many more than that. For this one, for instance, I recorded, you know, 20, 30 songs probably before I settled on the select amount that I felt worked the best together.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning stages, that's definitely how it works. And so it's a lot of experimentation. But I think approaching it with that kind of spontaneity, that's how I like to work and I enjoy it.
Now you talk about writing earlier on, you talk about, your interest in writing, working in a bookstore. And, there's something about your songs which remind me, I do a lot of interviews with authors, and there's something about your songs that remind me of how some authors, they develop characters and they develop the story as they go along. They have a kind of an outline to begin with. And it's interesting, when I ask this question to authors, they often will say, yes, the character drove me in this direction. And I'm wondering, Logan, whether your songs drive you in certain directions, particularly with the found sounds and the effects.
Well, I think one of the biggest reasons why I write songs instead of writing books or anything like that would be because I'm not patient enough to sit down and do that. A lot of times, the songs that I write, they almost come in kind of a blur. I usually write all my songs in one sitting. I sit down, it comes out in maybe 2 hours. I record the demo and I take a step back, and then later I get to revisit that as a composition. But it's hard to speak from exactly where these things happen. There's not much planning ahead of time. It usually just kind of occurs, and then it could be that the characters might be speaking through me every now and then. But it's a very hard thing to articulate, and I'm much more eloquent when I write songs than when I actually speak. So,
yes, okay. Now, just a few moments ago, I mentioned a song that I want to play now. It's called Venus Restored. Before we play it, just tell us a little about this one.
Yeah, so that actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because that actually is one of the few that I think I wrote the melody first.
Huh.
And I had that melody for weeks and I didn't know what to do with it. And then eventually I was able to write lyrics for it. And it's a very, I don't know, Cohen-esque kind of song, but it's tough to kind of explain it. I'm not really sure exactly where that one came from.
Well, let's play it, and then let's see if our listeners, they can make their minds up about it. This is Logan Farmer, a.k.a. Monarch Mountain, with Venus Restored, right here at Life Elsewhere.
Do you want to leave this place alone? Wipe that oil off your face, we'll go. Wait here, brother, don't get out the car. I'm proud of ya. At the border, give this to the guard. Gray light, winter. Don't leave nothing for those rats, the years for dynamite. You hid them sheets of paper.
Aka Logan Farmer, or should it be the other way around? I'm I'm somewhat a little confused. That one was called Venus Restored. I want to remind you that if you want to hear this program again, it's going to be available at NPR1 and iTunes, and it will also be up at the Life Elsewhere sites, and that's lifeelsewhere.co. Logan, that one, love it. And we sort of got you to sort of give us a little overview of it. But I hear in your voice, and I hear some sort of trepidation about trying to explain too much.
Yeah, well, you know, that's probably the main reason why I use a moniker instead of my own name, is because there is, I mentioned before that I've been doing it so long that it kind of becomes a natural impulse to do this. And yeah, you know, it's hard to explain exactly where these things come from. You'll see a lot of artists, they'll kind of almost describe it as a external voice speaking through them. I'm not quite that, you know, I don't say that exactly, but it is one of those things that there is a voice that is not always your own voice that comes through it.
Right. Yes. Now, the name Monarch Mountain, when I first saw it, I just took it upon myself. Nobody told me, because it's Monarch, spelt Monarch. And then Mountain is, you've abbreviated, MTN. And I just decided it's Monarch Mountain. Now, it could have been Monarch MTN, or it could have been something else. But that's what it is. It's Monarch Mountain. Why? Why is it Monarch Mountain?
Yeah. Well, there are a couple reasons for it. I mean, for one, I like the way it sounds. And I don't particularly like the way it looks spelled out. I'm very kind of superstitious and very much obsessed with aesthetics when it comes to this kind of thing. But, you know, and another, this is kind of a secret, but, you know, my original long, long time ago when I first started making music, I made it under the name Tobacco Pat, which has its own story.
Tobacco Pat. Tell us about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely a much more kind of country feel to it. And I was a lot younger then.
Yeah.
And I ended up wanting to change it because I was exploring more experimental textures like we were talking about before. But again, I can be kind of superstitious about this kind of thing. And so what I did was, in order to kind of keep these things fluid and connected, these two names, you have first word is 7 letters, second word is 3 letters. And so I proceeded with Monarch Mountain in that exact same fashion to show that these are connected recordings and connected writings, but it is a new incarnation of that.
I love that explanation. I really do. That's very, very interesting. Let's go just a little deeper, Logan, into the superstitious thing. This is a fascinating area. And, you know, as I'm looking at your Bandcamp page, there was something about it when I first looked at it that has a sort of aura of... I don't know. Obviously, it's dark. There's a lot of black, but I was thinking to myself as I'm looking at it that I was wondering whether there was any sort of, I don't know, anything to do with maybe superstition or astrology or any of those sort of the dark arts or anything like that. Your thoughts on that direction?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's no specific.
Yeah.
It's almost like my own personal brand of superstition, in the sense that I like patterns and I like connectivity. I don't have much interest in astrology or anything like
that.
Okay. Although I do find it fascinating, and I do find spirituality and religion very fascinating. That's definitely an element to my work, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, otherwise, I mean, it's just kind of my own personal preferences, you know. In fact, the first two official Monarch Mountain records, Mysteries and Salvation, those also share the same amount of numbers as well. And so I like to include lots of repetition and patterns in my work if I can.
Wow. See, now I did not know that, and I'm so glad that you pointed it out. That it shines a completely different light on things. Have you always been superstitious?
I don't know. I suppose. Yeah, I suppose that I would be, and at least when it comes to making these kind of things, I like them to be related. You know, those two albums I just mentioned, they're very related. They're very much sister records, you know, and I feel like my last record, Everyone Is Here, this record and this new one that I'm already thinking about will form kind of a triptych, I think, because like I said before, these things are very intimate, and very personal to me. And I like to explore that as much as I can. It's not just a collection of songs I want to randomly put out. You know, there's always a concept. There's always a connection between these works. So,
you mentioned religion. Did you grow up with a religion, in a religion?
You know, I mean, I was raised in the South, so we grew up Methodist, you know, and nothing dramatic, you know, but it's always been fascinating to me. And as I got older, I, you know, explored more Eastern religions and that kind of thing. I think there's an influence there. I think the imagery itself is particularly compelling. And I think there's definitely an inspiration there.
Is religion still a part of your life?
Well, you know, I try to approach my life with a love for stillness, and I think that's pretty much where it ends for me. But it is to approach something with humility and stillness, I think, is very important.
Yeah. We're talking to Logan Farmer. He works under the name Monarch Mountain. His new album is called I Woke at the Station. I have been raving about this since I received it a couple of weeks back now. I've been playing it nonstop. When you hear somebody like me, there's not very many people like me, by the way, that rave on about something, what's your thoughts about that?
No, I think it's great. And it can be strange. You know, but most of my interactions with my listeners are digital, or they are, you know, just via emails and stuff like that. So there's always a different feeling when you go out and you play shows and you speak to people face to face. It's an altogether different emotion. It's a different response that I always feel when I speak to people who really enjoy my work. It always kind of almost makes me uncomfortable because I'm not used to speaking directly about something like that face to face with somebody. And also, you know, these things, for instance, I recorded I Woke at the Station, you know, last fall. So it's for me, as far as how I work, it's been a long time.
It's a long
time.
And
so these songs feel separate for me in a lot of ways.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I often hear that from musicians. Yeah, because the process does take a time, doesn't it? You just talked about playing live. Is that something you do very often?
Yeah, I can be kind of picky about it. I can be picky with where I play and you know, who I play with every now and then. I feel like it's and again, you know, I play completely solo, and so it's there is definitely a distinction between my recordings and my live performances, for sure.
Yeah. You bring a backing tape, or you have sort of, how does that work for you?
No, I bring I have a pedal.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a reverb pedal.
Uh-huh.
And I just perform like that, completely stripped down.
Oh, do you? That I would love to hear. That would be very interesting. Now, I want to go back now and talk about the instrumentation, because there's a couple of tracks, and I'm trying to remember which ones, but you'll get the idea when I go through this. But there's one track, I think, in particular, where the drums are clearly computerized drums. Well, at least they sound like they are to me. Then there's a couple of tracks where I think, well, is that real drums, or is that a drum loop? Or talk to me about the drums.
Well, I don't want to go into it too much, because I don't want to reveal too much about how I do all this stuff.
But, right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love making beats, I'll put it that way. And I love digital drums, and I love drum machines. I love kind of combining an organic sound with an idiosyncratic element like a digital drumming. It's so heartless and can be so cold that I think they mesh in a really fascinating way.
Well, that's a good enough explanation, I think. Yeah, yeah. So computers are important to you then. So the technology is a really interesting part for you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like electronic music. I'm kind of picky about it, but yeah, no, I like it a lot. And I think that some of my favorite recordings combine elements that are very, very dissimilar. You know, things that you don't expect. I appreciate that in recordings, and I try to approach my own work in that same way.
Yeah. In the blurb on your Bandcamp site, I keep going back and referring to this, you say, I had the opportunity to go to an isolated cabin in the woods and record an album. I didn't shave, and I packed lots of flannel. All the stuff you would expect from a folk singer in 2017. Are you a folk singer in 2018?
I don't know. I think that's definitely what I am deep down, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that the songs themselves are written like folk songs. And I think that at least what the essence of folk music is, I think that I don't listen to a lot of modern folk music. I do. I have select artists that I just really, really love.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's not as much, courage, I think, in folk music nowadays. I think everything needs to be approached, in an expansive fashion, I guess you would say it's progressive folk is what I kind of like to think of it
progressive
as.
Progressive folk, yeah, yeah. What do you think about labels? It seems to me, and I've always fought against this, it seems like there's this need for people to put things into categories, into groups. Progressive folk, alt-rock, indie, it's electronica. It seems like everybody has to have these little categories to put things in. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it makes things very tough. I mean, when you work nowadays, I mean, when you're a musician, you have to do a lot of self-promotion, which has never been my strong suit. You know, I wrote the little paragraph on my website as just something I could use for press and that kind of thing. And I think I did it pretty well. There's very much a kind of tongue-in-cheek voice there.
Sure.
Because it's tough. I probably should have some sort of biography in my website, something like that. But to me, that seems so separate and it's so counterintuitive for me to write about myself in that way. It's not easy. And so I think that's a big part of it.
Right.
And so involved with that would be kind of describing yourself with a genre or putting labels on your music, which to me is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with you.
Yes, well, thank you. Logan Farmer is our guest. He operates, works, his music, puts his music out currently under the name Monarch Mountain. And I loved his explanation of that because of superstition about the number of letters. Are there plans to change, to go to another name at some point?
I've considered it.
Yeah.
And I've actually considered using my own name to release certain songs. Monarch Mountain definitely has its own sound.
Yes.
There's definitely, it's experimental music. You know, it's very much, it's where I get to express myself through unusual means and kind of just and do that. But I think if I were to do something more stripped down, something just completely acoustic or something like that, which I do have interest in, I might consider using my own name.
Well, you know, this is an interesting part, and I would kind of believe that I'm not the first person to say this, but your actual name is kind of an unusual name. It's an interesting name. It sounds like you made it up. Logan, when I first read it, I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's a great name. I wonder, where did he come up with that? That is your real name, or are you falling asleep?
That is my real name. No, and it's funny you mentioned that, because obviously when it's your own name,
yeah,
it's hard to really know what it looks like and what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, when as a person growing up, you're like, oh, my name is so dorky or whatever it happens
right.
to be.
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, that's good. I'm glad it's an unusual name, I guess.
Let's play another cut from the album, shall we? This one is called Electric Nothing. This is Monarch Mountain at Life Elsewhere.
It always hurts to see you're not listening. A carcass of sorts made of vine and milk thistle. Most turn to dust, but some turn to sketches in books. And I'm too drunk to dance, but it's not my turn. The boys come from Birmingham, Venice, and Rome to bask in your room, then ask to be ferried across. In their years of the Black Horse, been a bad day. I don't ask you for much, 'cause sometimes when I wake, I find all that I want in the microbes and dice that ain't joyful in knives of bright. We all become this electric nothing. The will of our God appears faceless and numb, and I never looked back, but I still turned to a pillar of salt. In their years of the black heart, in their years of the black heart, in their years of the black.
Station. Logan Farmer is Monarch Mountain and Electric Nothing. Talk to me about that one, Logan.
Yeah, I love that song. That's one of my favorites on the record. It is also very cryptic lyrically. I think the rest of the songs, I think it's pretty apparent what's going on with the characters and with the story itself. But I enjoyed writing Electric Nothing. And that's an older song, too, that actually I wrote that one before a lot of the songs on I Woke Up the Station. And mostly I like it because of the guitar playing. I'm a big fan of flamenco style and classical style guitar playing. And I enjoyed making that one for sure.
Well, I enjoyed listening to it. That one caught my attention right off when I first got the album. And let's talk about guitar playing. It sounds to me, from listening to this album and the others that I've listened to now, you're an accomplished guitar player.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Not very technical.
No.
You know.
No. But you've got a style, it sounds to me. But you also, it sounds to me, like you can go from one direction to another. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm completely self-taught with guitar. And I like to mess around with different tunings and such. But I don't know. I mean, I guess there are like some changes that occur within the songs themselves, including Electric Nothing. I think there's a pretty neat little change there at the end that I like a bit. I don't know. I like songs with different structures.
You know, we have a lot of listeners to this program all over the place that are very into guitars and guitar playing. And I know that some of these people will write to me, they will ask him about his guitars. What does he have a favorite guitar? So do you have a favorite guitar?
if people met me, they would realize that I don't really know anything about the technical sides of guitars or anything like that. You know, this I have one pedal that I use, and I barely understand it. You know, it's right. I don't know. I like playing. I play nylon string guitar, and okay. I really enjoy it. And I enjoy finger picking. I think probably the thing that I'm best at with guitar would probably be finger picking. But no, I don't know anything. I really don't.
Okay, now we're going to change the subject dramatically. I Woke at the Station has a sadness running through it. And your other music has a certain sort of, it's a kind of anguished sound coming out there. I'm always curious about when I hear music that has that sort of forlorn sound. One, because I love it so much. I just think some of the very best music, of course, derived from the blues, is just, it's got this downside, but it's also up at the same time. Any thoughts on that, about sad music, about music that has a sort of a desperate side to it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that some of my favorite music would be, you know, the older kind of Mississippi Delta blues.
Yeah.
And I think I really enjoy music that there is an inherent sadness, even when it doesn't sound sad. And I think, I don't know, it's hard to say. I always find there are these huge differences between each one of my records that other people don't quite hear as much. I think there's always, I don't know. I think there's a lot to be sad about.
Yes, we live in strange times and a strange world right now. Well, I've got to tell you, I've really enjoyed this interview. We're going to close by playing, which I think is probably my... they're all great songs. I like all of them very much. I love Electric Nothing. But the track that I keep going back to is Saint in Armor, and I'm calling it 2. Is it Saint in Armor 2? Is that the correct way to say it?
Yep, it is 2. It's the second one.
It's the second one. Okay, that's right. So, it has been a delight talking to you. Wish you all the very best. We have been talking to Logan Farmer. His album is called I Woke at the Station, and he performs as Monarch Mountain. This track is called Saint in Armor 2. Logan, thank you so very much for joining us at Life Elsewhere.
Thank you, Norman. I appreciate it.
Is it true the tower fell? Saint in armor, might as well haunt the parking lots of dailies here among us. Caught at last, speaks, and he was such a quiet man. Thank you. as I've grown to understand. If I only asked him how his day went,
Thank you for listening, and thank you to Logan Farmer for sharing his music and thoughts. Now don't forget, you can hear this show again at MTR1 and iTunes, and make sure you give us some love when you go there. You can also hear the show at Mixcloud and at lifeelsewhere.co. Next week, an interview with Stephen Watson of Stack, a magazine subscription service. Till then, be well, be good. And as always, be nice. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Life Elsewhere, created and hosted by Norman B. Life Elsewhere is written and produced by Norman B. Guest booking and additional research by Stephanie Lane. Behind the scenes assistance by James Van, Bruce Goodman, and Allison Klein. We love to hear what you think about Life Elsewhere. Send your questions, queries, and comments to info@lifeelsewhere.co. That's C-O. Life Elsewhere is produced at the studios of WMNF Tampa.